right. It's good to be here. I know we're going to partake of the sacrament a little bit later. I'm thankful for that. Good to see each one of you. It's almost spring. It's starting to feel a little bit more like spring. Had a little bit of warm weather this past week. I'm thankful for that. Looking forward to getting past the cold. I preached for New York last week, and there was a subject that was placed upon my mind. I wasn't sure if I was going to do it again this week. I decided to do so. It's about being productive. I made some changes to it, some minor changes, but I wanted to go over this topic with you again today. We have the example, of course, of our Lord and his productivity that he had in his life, what he's done for us, the creation of the world. And it's not only just being productive, it's being productive for God. Right, we can be productive in a lot of ways, but of course we're supposed to use our gifts, our abilities, our talents to be productive for the Lord. This is a scripture I thought about. It's Proverbs 6. Let me read this. Proverbs 6, 6 through 11, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." I know when we get past the holidays, it can be hard. It's hard for me in the wintertime. Holidays are over. We have this unbearable winter that we have to deal with that's in front of us. And January was a hard month for me. I didn't want to be productive at all. I just wanted to sit around and do things. And there was a morning I woke up. I really didn't want to get out of the bed, but I had to tell myself, you need to get up, you need to be productive, you need to do something. And so I got up and I worked on Adeline's bedroom. We're doing some remodeling in our house and we're turning our loft into a bedroom. I got up and I was productive, and it brought me a joy. It brought me a sense of fulfillment that I was able to do that and to use those abilities and things that I knew of. I had to do some framing of a wall, but it brought me joy. And we think about the ant, and the ant is very productive. And I think if you get online and you read about the ant, they can lift thousands of times their weight, I believe it is, 2,000 times their weight, something like that. They're always busy, they're always working, they're always getting something done. And so that's the example here that's used by the writer of this proverb. Genesis 1:31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Again, we have examples set out from the beginning of our scriptures where the Lord himself was productive. He was getting things done. He created everything. He created man, and then he even took time to rest. And, you know, sometimes I wonder what it'll be like in the resurrection, what we will do. Will we sleep? Will we rest? And I think this goes to show that there will be even periods of rest if we need it. There will be periods of productivity when we get things done. We will work then just like we work now, and we will take pleasure in that. And again, we have this example here of the Lord and his great productivity in creating all things. Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And I brought this up because we read this passage and we think about, yes, we are made to look like the Lord. We have a body like the Lord, fingers, arms, etc. We look like the Lord, but not only that, we have intellect and thoughts, just like the Lord has. You know, the Lord thinks about things and ponders things and considers things. And so he gives that to us as well. And the ability to create and to produce things just like the Lord. And that way, we're also like the Lord in a lot of different ways beyond just how we look. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. I think about this quite often too. This passage, this was before the fall, it was before sin entered into the world through Adam. But yet even before that, Adam was asked to take care of the garden. He was busy, he was working, he was being productive. He had things to do, even before the fall. And another example that I'd used last week is there was a sister that shared a testimony. It was, I think it was at conference one year, and her mother had passed away, and she had a dream, I believe it was, and she saw her mother, and her mother was tending a garden. And her mother always liked to garden when she was alive. It was one of her favorite things to do. And she said the garden didn't need tending in her dream, but yet it was being tended by her mother. And her mother was having joy because of that experience. She knew her mother was in a better place. And again, I think it reinforces this idea of productivity. We're always to be productive. And that goes forth in the past, even before the fall, in the present. But now we have things to deal with that we won't in the future. Weeds, right? You go outside and you'll work in the yard and you pull weeds. And then 2 months later, you got more weeds that are back, right? And in the future, it won't be like that. It'll be different. Isaiah 65:19-21, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and join my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. This is about the millennial reign. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. So again, it goes to show here in this passage, what will it be like in the resurrection? What will it be like during the millennium? We're going to have things to do. We're going to be inhabiting houses. It says we're going to build houses, plant vineyards, eat the fruit of them. Productivity, it's something that exists from the very beginning and something that will always exist. Things that the Lord has for us to do are things that we might want to do ourselves and take joy in, right? The Lord has given us that intellect and curiosity to want to learn something new. That curiosity is a good thing. It helps us to learn, to grow, and then to produce fruit and to be productive. And it will be like that again in the future during the resurrection and millennial reign. I'm sure you've seen this show or this channel. This is PBS. They have a channel. It's called Create. PBS has multiple channels now. But you have all these shows. You have shows about cooking, gardening, travel with Rick Steves. I think there's a Lydia's cooking show, something or other, one of those two ladies up top there in the middle. I don't know which one. This Old House, another cooking show, Martha Stewart, P. Allen Smith, Garden Home, I believe it is. And Bob Ross, right? Bob Ross the painter. So all these shows about creating, and so they created this channel called Create. And that's a good thing. It's about being productive. It's about using skills, abilities, and talents, the ability to learn new things and to grow. And that's because of just the way the Lord is, who he is, and how he created us as individuals, that we have the ability to create. And maybe you can't paint. Maybe you don't like to garden. Maybe you don't like to cook. Maybe you don't like to build or woodwork. Do any woodworking, but there's always something that you can do, always something you can do to be productive. It can be just as simply how you treat other people. It can be how you spend your time. If it's, what are you reading? Is it edifying? You know, are you praying? There's a lot of different ways to be productive, not just using your hands, but just the things of the mind and the thoughts that you have. I wanted to go over a couple examples in the scriptures about people that were productive and that used their talents for the Lord. This is an example of woodworking here in this picture. Looks like there's some beautiful flowers being carved. So Exodus 35, 30 to 35, it says, "And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called my name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. And to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and the cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with the wisdom of heart to work all manner of work, of the engraver, of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, and blue, and in purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work." So there's some takeaways from this passage, and let's go back through this again. So here's this man, this man of the tribe of Judah, and God filled him with the Spirit of God, it says, in wisdom, understanding, knowledge, all manner of workmanship. And that's the way I believe it can be for us. If there's something we want to do, if there's something we want to do for the Lord or be used for the Lord in a particular way, the Lord can give us skills, talents, and abilities to do those things. We, of course, have the body of the church. Every member of the body has something to do, something to get done. And we can ask the Lord for wisdom in these things to help us out, to help us learn new skills. And then not only that, I think it said here, it says, put in his heart that they may teach, both he and Oholiab of the tribe of Dan, that we can even help others to grow, help to teach others because of the gifts that we have, and we can be a light in that regard, and the Lord can help us with that, with these things. I want to teach this person to do something. Can you give me the skill to be able to do that? And the Lord can direct us in that way. Here's another example. This is an example of David. Before he was king, he's playing to King Saul, to comfort King Saul when he was tormented. It was another example of productivity. And this passage here, this verse here, Psalms 33:3, sing to him a new song, play skillfully, and shout for joy. Sing to him a new song. You know, maybe you can write a song for the Lord. Play skillfully. To play skillfully, it takes time. You have to practice. You just don't have it all of a sudden. You have to grow in that. And so the Lord gives us that freedom to learn new things. And you know, I'm wondering, for those of you that like to do various things, I like to do various things, will I have to relearn those things in the future if I want to do them again? If I want to play my guitar in a millennial reign? There's different theories about that. There's different passages that may shed light on this, but we're going to have all this time. We're going to be doing work for the Lord, but yet to build those houses, to plant those vineyards, is that something that we're going to have to learn over again? I wonder about these types of things. But that's part of the joy in life. That's part of the joy in life, is to learn new things, to experience new things. If everybody has an unlimited time on their hands, is everybody going to be able to, or is everybody going to be woodworkers just because they're going to have infinite time? Is everybody going to know how to play the piano because they have infinite time to learn? How is that going to work? Are some people going to be better at others in playing piano or playing organ? I don't really know. I don't know how that's all going to work. but my thoughts, my opinion is that we'll be able to grow and to learn new things. Just, you know, the Lord is going to teach us, it says in the scriptures. But it takes time, it takes effort to be productive. 1 Samuel 16:14-23, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and plain, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in manners, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with thy sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. So, you know, David knew how to do things. He was not lazy. He was a worker. He was working out in the field. He would tend the sheep. He knew how to do that to take care of the sheep. But he had other abilities as well, abilities to play the harp, it says here. And David came to Saul and stood before him. He loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And so the Lord used David, use the abilities that he had and be able to play this harp and the gift of music, and it comforted Saul. But that was because David was productive. He took the time to learn how to play that. I was thinking about people that have, there's a music therapy degree that you can get. It kind of goes along with this, I believe, that you can use music to help people with the difficulties they have in life or mental illness or whatever it might be. This is a perfect example of that. David was productive, and because of that, the Lord used him, and of course, he became a king. Here's an example of Nephi and the Lord using him and his family to build a ship. 1 Nephi 5:169-174, and the Lord did show me from time to time after what manner I should work the timbers of the ship. Now I, Nephi, did not work the timbers after the manner which was learned by men, neither did I build the ship after the manner of men. But I did build it after the manner which the Lord had shown unto me, wherefore it was not after the manner of men. And I, Nephi, did go into the mount oft, and I did pray oft unto the Lord, wherefore the Lord showed unto me great things. And it came to pass that after I had finished the ship according to the word of the Lord, my brethren beheld that it was good, and that the workmanship thereof was exceeding fine. Wherefore they did humble themselves again before the Lord. That's all I have of that passage. So here the Lord didn't just tell Nephi to build a ship without instruction. The Lord helped Nephi to figure out how to build a ship in the way that the Lord would have it done. And that's what we have offered to us, is we can ask the Lord, you know, help me learn something new. And it can be with skill and ability and instruction that's even greater than what the world teaches. That's what we have available to us. Here's an example from the book of Acts of Tabitha. Acts 9:36-42, it says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. So she was being productive. It doesn't say specifically what good work she was doing, but there are some clues coming up here. It says, and it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them when he was come. They brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And this is what I wanted to get at here, that she had abilities to make coats, to make garments, and I'm sure she probably used those to bless other people, as it talked about in that first verse that we read. Right? It can be anything. I know some of you like to crochet and make things. Some of you like to sew. Some of you have worked at places that sell equipment for making things, sew and crochet, etc. And those jobs and those abilities and those talents that we have, those gifts and skills, we can be used as a light for others just in the way that we treat people and our occupation and our job. And that's hard for me, right? When I'm at work, something bad happens and I don't have a good attitude about it, I just want to complain. But we're to strive to do great things with the Lord's help, not great for our glory, but for the glory of God, to be that light. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning to him, to the body, said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive, and it was known throughout all Joppa, many believed in the Lord. Matthew 5:14-16, "You are the light of the world. A city that sit on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So I think this can be interpreted, and I think this applies to a lot of different things. It applies to how we treat people. There are some people that do a better job at treating people than what I might do, but maybe I might be better at doing something else. You know, maybe it applies to not only how we treat people and our attitudes and our kindness, but I believe this applies to our gifts and abilities as well, that how we use them. That is to be used as a light. I have an example here. I wanted to get a new guitar. I went up to Grand Rapids. I found somebody not too far from here that was selling a guitar that looked like something I wanted. His name was Jonathan Marshall, and I went up and I met him in his facility where he teaches. He's a director at Grand Rapids Community College of their guitar program. So I went up there and I talked to him, I met with him, and he had four or five different guitars that he showed to me. And he had various recommendations. I played all of them. I had him play them for me. and there's some things I wanted him to adjust, the height of the strings on the guitar. And I talked to him about that, and he says, "Well, I want to do that for you. I want to take care of this for you. I don't want to give you something that you're not happy with." And he said, "I'm a Christian." And so, of course, I connected with him right away because of that. And the way he treated me, with the great respect he had, the great care that he had for me, was him being a light unto me. And so he worked on the guitar, and I struggled to find a time to pick it up because we had to cancel because of snow the 1 week. But I eventually was able to get it. And he said, "Well, come to my house. You can come to my house and you can pick it up." So I guess he was comfortable with me doing that. So I went to his house. He invited me in. He introduced me to his wife and his daughter. And then he ended up showing me his basement remodeling he had done in his basement. And he gave me a new pack of strings, a humidifier. He had all these add-ons. It was the best buying experience I've ever had in anything I've bought. And I believe it was because of his character and who he was. And he expressed that just in his occupation. And it says here at the top, it says, "Contact me for special offers and questions before you buy." He wants to make sure he serves the customer and he does it right and he does it correctly, ethically. I don't know how many of you have seen this. Brother Ronnie Gill wrote a book. It's now out on Amazon. I know some of you have also written books that are out on Amazon. This is an example of being productive. He's using his ministerial abilities, his knowledge of the scriptures, his creativity to write a book. This is about Ruth. I haven't read it. I believe there's some probably fictional aspects here of this. But it has scriptural truths in it. And he's trying to share that with the world. He's trying to be a light into the world. He wrote a book. He's being productive. And we may say to ourselves, I can never do that. I could never write a book. I can never paint a painting, you know, I can never make that, I can never do that, I can never have that level of confidence to do that or to speak about something. And that's just the devil trying to stifle us. You know, we can do great things with the Lord's help, and he can work with each one of us. So I have some bullet points here, just some examples. This isn't exhaustive. Write, practice a song or a musical piece. When I was preaching to New York last weekend, you know, what Brandon will do is he will bring up YouTube and he will play some piano parts for hymns and we'll sing to those. And somebody took the time to record themselves playing these hymns on the piano and putting them on YouTube. And so now they're a blessing to others. You know, Mary has done that. She's recorded things for our use before. That's an example of being productive. We watched a video, I think it was during Sunday school, a video on Isaiah. It was a short, I mean, it wasn't too long of a video. It was maybe a couple minutes. But it was very well done, and it was very edifying. Somebody took the time to do that, to use the abilities that they had to create a YouTube channel for the Lord. You can't get any greater satisfaction than that, than doing something and doing something for the Lord. Write a psalm or a poem. How many of us have ever written a psalm or a poem? We have a couple people that write poems in the church. You know, share the love that you have for the Lord and the blessing that the Lord has been to you, writing back to him. Write a book, build something, paint something, plant something, bake something. Make a video, teach something, preach something, pray something. Learn something, read something edifying, do something that can be a blessing to help others. In our basement that we have blankets down there. We also have about 10, I'm always teased about how I say pillows, that were made by Evelyn. They're down in our basement. She used that skill to be a blessing to us, and she made all these pillows, and we have them in our basement, and we're using them all the time. Do it to bring glory to God, not for our own self. That's a big difference, right, of what's done in the world and its productivity versus productivity for the Lord. Ask God for wisdom. And finish it. That's the hard part. I've got 5 or 6 projects right now that I'm trying to finish, and I'm going to get them done. I am going to get them done, but it's hard. You start something, and it's hard sometimes to finish it, especially if it's difficult. And I was thinking about the quote from John F. Kennedy about going to the moon. He said, you know, it's not the easy things we do it because it's difficult. Do it because it's difficult. And that's a blessing that we can overcome challenges, and God gives us that curiosity and that wonder to be able to pursue these things and to see them to completion. I'm capable of achieving great things for God and man through my dedication and perseverance. It takes dedication, it takes time, it takes an attitude of not giving up. It's not greatness of ourselves, it's just to be a blessing to others. But in the grand scheme of things, there's nothing more greater than doing something for the Lord. I was thinking about another brother who shared with me years ago. He's now a minister, and I've heard him share this before, and so I think it'd be okay for me to share it with you. But I think he was walking into work one day, and he was thinking about all the things that he was doing, how productive he was. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, "What are you doing for me?" And it kind of changed his path going forward in life from that time forward, that he's given his time and his abilities and all to the Lord now because of that experience, or that experience being part of that. Lord asking him, "What are you doing for me?" Flourish where you are planted. Somebody mentioned this to me a couple weeks ago. We're not going to be able to do everything. There's a lot of things that I want to do that I just don't have the time to do it. But there are things that I know how to do. I'm working on a musical piece right now, a guitar and violin, and I want to play it at a conference. I've never done that before, but I was asked to do this, and you have to do something related to the skills that you have, right? Again, you can't do everything, but if there is something you want to learn, you know, take the time to learn it, but you're going to have to make decisions, what you do and what you don't do. You've been planted in the church, and you've been given skills and abilities, and it can be even small things. It doesn't have to be big things. There's people that take care of the stuff outside, that mow the grass, take out the trash. That is being a servant. That is being the greatest of all. To be the greatest of all is to be a servant, is what the Lord says. First Corinthians 1:26 to 29. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, God uses the weak people. He uses us. We are a weak people. And God can do great things to us, with us, as it says here in the scriptures. He's chosen us. There's verses like this in the scripture, Isaiah 49:1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. You know, I don't know what happened before we were created. I personally believe the soul was created first, and then the body, because of verses like this, and this the creation story. But I don't know for sure. It's of my opinion that the Lord has a call. Well, the scriptures say that the Lord has a calling for us. He's called each one of us. But I believe he's called you for specific things in life, just like Isaiah was called here for specific things. And then one day we're going to have to report back to the Lord, I called you to do this. We're going to have a perfect memory of all things that we've done in this body that it says in the Book of Mormon. And we're going to have to answer for that. I gave you this to do, why didn't you do that? Or, well done, good and faithful servant. It's going to be one of those. Ecclesiastes 5:18 through 19, behold, that which I have seen, it's good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. And so here, the teacher, he's considering life, things that are vain and vanity. But yeah, you do things in the context of God, you can do it. You can do it for his glory, and it can have eternal value. Eternal value. Even when this life is over, then there's the judgment as eternal value. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Even if it's been done before, maybe something's been done before, but there's always a need for certain things. You know, maybe you're the next person to do something that somebody else has already done. That is a good thing. You know, it can also be a blessing to others. Alma 1966, and it's a requisite with the justice of God that men should be judged according to their works, and if their works were good in this life and the desires of their hearts were good, that they should also at the last day be restored unto that which is good. This is my last scripture, but there's this debate about works, and are we saved according to our works? And it says here, it says it all over the Bible, that we're judged according to our works. But it's not about how many things you do for the Lord. It's not about quantity. You have to give this much money to the church, or you have to do this many good deeds for the poor, or you have to take on this many roles. You know, faith without works is dead. If you have faith, you're going to naturally produce works, and you're going to have what it says here, you're going to have desire. You're going to have a desire to do good things. That's what it really comes down to, is the desire, and then things are produced because of that desire. It's not just about going through the motions. It's not about, you know, I was thinking about Alma when I was driving up here this morning. You see, he was born again. You know, the Lord afflicted him and humbled him, but he was not only born of the water and the Spirit. It says he was born again in his heart. He had a change in his heart, in his inner man, and who he was as a person. And so he had desires going forward to do good things. And the Lord judges us according to the attitudes of our heart. He's you know, equitable, and he's fair, and he knows how to judge people. And I was thinking about, you know, other churches. We you know, doctrine is so important, and the restoration of the gospel is so important, and to contend for the faith is important. But yet I look at people, I have always looked at people in other churches, in the church I've grown up with, churches I've grown up with, and their zeal and their passion, and many of them have great desires placed upon their hearts to do many, many great things for the Lord. And I know the Lord looks pleasingly upon that. And that's the way it should be with us. We should strive to do the best for the Lord, strive to do great things for him, to allow the Lord to use us to do new things for him. That's what the Lord wants from us. So we need to be productive, not only for the things of the world, but the things for the Lord. And that's what the scriptures tell us. And that's all I have. Thank you for your time.